Today, as we look at God and how God reigns over me, I thank God each and every one of us. We look and we realize that the foundation has four corners. The Bible, God, which we're talking about today, Jesus, and lastly, fourthly, the Holy Spirit. Everything the evangelical church believes and practices flows from or is related to one of those four corners of the foundation. And today, we're going to look at God, and specifically the God who reigns over us. We find that God, not just in the first chapter of the Bible, but in the very first sentence of the Bible. The Bible presents a true story with a cast of thousands, an amazing storyline that covers thousands of years. Not surprisingly, of all the personalities we learn about, the very first one we begin with is God. That really shouldn't surprise us, because when you study the Bible, you're not just looking for historical facts or biographical trivia. You're looking for real eternal truth, and that means you have to start with God, because the Bible is all about God. God put the key to understanding all the Bible at the very front door when he said these four words: in the beginning, God. Without those four words, history is just a mystery. Life is a puzzle that would be impossible to put together. And as I think about this God, it is amazing to me to say this, but you can really boil my life down to that one three-letter word, G-O-D. God defines me personally, professionally, publicly, and privately, and there is not a day in my life that I don't think about God, talk about God, speak to God, listen to God, or read about God. And the one overriding thought that I have about God is the foundational thought the Bible gives about God, which is, he is a sovereign God. He reigns. He rules. As we come to our scripture, Psalms 103, verse 19, the Bible says, and it talks about several things in Psalms 103 and all of the scriptures, but let's just look to Psalms 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. What a universal praise that is going on. But God is sovereign, is what David is saying. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. God's sovereignty. In him we can trust in his control of all things. In other words, God is not operating by your permission. We see the reign of his measureless dominion. Psalms 45:6 says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Isaiah 6:1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Revelation chapter 4 and 5 talks a lot about the throne of God. The Bible says in Revelation 4:2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. But what is his throne in heaven like? Almost the entire fourth chapter of Revelation describes God's majesty in his throne room in heaven, and God's throne symbolizes his absolute authority and power. What does Revelation 4:3 reveal about God's throne? The rainbow completely encircles the throne, creating awesome display of transparent colors. It's like an emerald in appearance, meaning it has a dominant green color. The majesty around God's throne is enhanced with lightning and thundering and voices. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto a crystal. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, there's also a vast host around the throne praising him in Revelation 4:11. Revelation 20, verse 11, the Bible says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You know, we look at the word sovereignty, and you zero in on the middle portion of that term of sovereignty. You see the word reign right in the middle. To confess the sovereignty of God is to acknowledge the reign of God over your life and to understand that He has the power over everything that happens. That thought has great implications for all of us. If God is in charge, if God is sovereign, then we should submit to His authority and live as if He is in charge, not as if we are in charge. If God is sovereign, you're not the captain of your fate. You're not the master of your soul. And according to the Bible, God is sovereign over everything from the mightiest galaxy to the smallest atom. He controls the angels in heaven, the inhabitants of the earth, the kings on thrones, beggars in the streets. Hallelujah. And quite frankly, the sovereignty of God is not something you hear about in church much anymore. And our do your own thing, nobody tells me what to do, I did it my way culture, it's not a very popular concept, yet it's still there. Sovereignty means that God is king. He calls the shots. He rules and reigns over everyone and everything. He rules over events and circumstances. Nothing happens unless He either causes it or allows it. And therefore, nothing happens by chance. You understand that God rules over everything and God rules over everyone. He rules over the rich, the poor, the blacks, the whites, the Republicans, the Democrats, the men, the women, the conservatives, and the liberals. And in fact, that is what I want you to take away from this message. And I thank God that God is sovereign and He is in complete control of everything and everybody. Perhaps no writer in the Bible better grasps the sovereignty of God and talked about it more than the Apostle Paul. In a powerful passage in the book of Romans, he described how God is sovereign and what it really means for us that God is sovereign. This is exactly what he said. Take your Bibles over to Romans chapter 11, verses 33 down to verse 36, where he begins to talk about the sovereignty of God. And I thank God it starts out in verse 33 of chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, both how unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. Verse 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? And lastly, verse 36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. From that we learn that God reigns over me. We see the foundation. One of the first things that we learn about this is God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything and everyone. The word omniscient comes from the Latin word omni, which means all, and the other Latin word sentia, which means to know. It literally means all-knowing. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything and everyone. God knows everything about everything and everything about everyone. God is the true know-it-all. 1 John 3:20, the Bible says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Do you know what that means? It means God is just like your teenager. You can't tell Him anything because He already knows it all. God's knowledge is not just intellectual. It is personal because God is omniscient. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. That is a frightening thought if you think about it. God knows you. He knows what you are. He knows the good side of you. He knows the bad side of you. Amen. I thank God He knows the clean side of you, the dirty side of you. God knows what you think. God can read your mind just as easily as you can read the morning newspaper. And in fact, God not only knows what you are thinking right now, He knows what you're about to think before you even think it. God knows the what, the when, the where, and the how of everything you do at any given moment. The Bible says, I thank God, that the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. God never takes His eyes off of you. He is always with you. I thank God there was a country church that was having a big church picnic, and there was a basket of apples at the very beginning of the serving line, and someone had written a big sign that said, God is watching. Take only one apple. At the end of the line, next to the chocolate chip cookies, a little boy had written a little sign that said, "Take all the cookies you want. God is busy watching the apples." The truth is, God is busy watching everyone and everything because He knows it all. Think about this. If that is true, then there's really no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as chance or fate. You know why? A sovereign God controls everything. He controls everything in our lives and knows everything that is going to happen before it ever happens. Take, for example, lightning. Insurance companies call lightning a freak of nature, an accident. The Bible says in Job 36:32 that He tells us, He says, "With clouds He covereth the light and commandeth it not to shine by the cloud that cometh betwixt." And so we see that God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything and everyone. But God is also omnipresent. He's ever-present. He's everywhere with everyone. Verse 36 reminds us and it tells us about this. I thank God that He says, "For Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." The reason why everything is from Him and the reason why everything is through Him and the reason why everything is to Him is because He is everywhere. In a real sense, none of us have totally true privacy because God is with us everywhere. He sees everything. Nothing can hide you from the presence of God and nothing can take you from the presence of God. Jeremiah 23:23-24, the Bible says, "I am a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not. I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord." The reason for that is that God is not limited by time or space. You and I cannot be in two places at the same time, but God can. God can be every place at one time. At the same time, let me add two little twists to this. On the one hand, even though God is in every place, no one place can contain God. Think about that. Think about that. 1 Kings 8:27, the Bible says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded." And so on the other hand, even though God is present everywhere, it doesn't mean that He is present in the same way with everyone. Isaiah 55:6 tells us that it says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near." What does that mean? There is a difference between God being present in a place and being close to a person. God is in this room right now, but He is far away from some of you here. And in fact, He is an eternity away from some of you here because some of you here do not know Him. God can be present with you, but not present in you. And on the other hand, think practically about the implications. If God is both present with you and present in you wherever you go, that means you can worship God anywhere. You can worship God at the beach, in the mountains, in the country, in the living room. You can spend time with God driving down the road, sitting under a tree, walking in the woods, sitting on the porch, looking at the stars. You can talk to God and hear from God anytime, any place, anywhere, because God is omnipresent. And that is why you don't come to church to worship. You come to church with your worship. And when you leave church, you take your worship with you because you take God with you. And so, number one, God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything and everyone. God is omnipresent. He's ever-present. He's everywhere with everyone. But lastly, because of the sovereignty of God, that God reigns over me, God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. The word omnipotent literally means all-powerful. He is all-powerful. Hallelujah. I thank God. Some people say that means that God can do anything. That is not totally true. You say, what do you mean? God can do anything that does not contradict His word or His character. Obviously, there are some things that even God can't do. God can't lie. God can't die. God can't do wrong. God can't tempt other people to do wrong. God can't create a rock so big that He can't pick it up because that would be inconsistent with His character. And on the other hand, God's power knows no limits because He is infinite and He is infinitely powerful. Hallelujah. I tell you, Isaiah 40:28, the Bible says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding?" God never runs out of energy. He never runs out of power because he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. God is omnipotent over everything you can imagine. He has power over nature. He can part a Red Sea or cause the sun to stop in its tracks. He has power over the devil and all of the demons and hell. One day he's going to imprison them in a place called hell forever. He has power over disease. There may be sicknesses beyond medicine, hospitals, doctors, and technology, but there is no sickness that God cannot heal. He proved with the resurrection of his own son that he has power over death. Remember again what Paul said. From him, through him, and to him are all things. He was talking about the very universe itself. God is so powerful, he could just speak, and all of this could come into existence. Think about this. It took no more effect for God to create a universe than it did for him to create an ant. All he had to do was say, "Let there be light," and the sun came out. And if he could do that with just a word, how much effort do you think it took him to create an ant? The beauty of God's sovereignty is all of these omnis work together. God can do anything he wants to do because he is omnipotent. Anywhere he wants to do it because he's omnipresent. And he knows how to do it the right way because he's omniscient. And to put it another way, because God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, that means that he's always wherever he needs to be, and he knows whatever needs to be done and has the power to do it. If what I have told you is true, there is a big so what and a big now what for all of us. I can put it to you in this equation. Control equals courage and confidence. And if God is in complete control of everything and everyone, then if I have a personal relationship with him and he has a personal relationship with me, then I should have courage to face today. There's no need for fear. And I should have confidence to face tomorrow. There's no need for worry. Augustine was correct when he said, "We count on God's mercy for our past mistakes. We count on God's love for our present needs. But we count on God's sovereignty for the future." Unquote. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. A sovereign God who can take care of every need that I have because he reigns over me. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the message, for the sovereignty of God, and Lord, for what you're doing in all of our lives. Lord, thank you for giving us the greatest strength that we can ever have. Thank you for being an all-knowing God that's omniscient, that knows everything and everyone. Thank you for being a God that's ever-present, that's omnipresent, that's everywhere with everyone. Thank you for being an omnipotent God that's all-powerful, that can do anything. Father, I asked you to save the lost people that are in our lives. Help us to be a soul winner. Help us to be a disciple for Jesus Christ. Help our church to be mirrored after you and your love and your discipline. And forgive us of our many sins and how we've let you down so many times. We lift up the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the message. God, the God that reigns over me. Amen.